is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I wonder if you have hope this Easter. Because what Easter really means is hope. Now, I know for a lot of us, Easter often has something to do with the time of the year. This time of the year, we often have spring break from school and our kids are out, and so we think Easter means a trip to the beach or a trip to see family and these kinds of things. We often think that maybe it's a trip to grandma's house to get some good food and maybe an Easter egg hunt afterwards. These are all family traditions that we have. But may I share with you what Easter really means? Easter really means hope, but not the kind of hope that perhaps you're used to saying, the way you normally use hope, the way the world often uses hope, because for the world, hope is often like a thread, a fragile, tenuous kind of thing. And we throw it around like the word wish. We say hope and wish as if they were synonyms. And we say things like, you know, I'm planning to go to the beach this weekend. I hope it doesn't rain. The young boy whose father is so busy at work all the time promised to take him fishing, and he says, I hope my daddy takes me fishing this weekend. The young bride who has only been married a little while, but her husband has changed, and he's angry, it seems, all the time and distant, and she says, I hope he still loves me. The middle-aged couple sitting in a hospital room holding hands, the husband thinks as they await the results of the biopsy. He says to himself, I hope it isn't cancer. The older woman in the retirement home sitting on the front porch in her wheelchair holding very tenderly photographs of her grandchildren, she says, I hope they come to see me this week. We have these hopes, but they're connected to nothing. They're just wishes, fragile things. And as life comes along and as we grow older, we begin to see our hopes broken. And so we begin to say things to one another like this, don't get your hopes up. We tell our kids this, don't get your hopes up, because hopes are such fragile things. We just don't see how hope could do anything for us. It's just this ephemeral, this empty kind of thing. But when the Bible talks about hope, it means much sterner stuff. Because the Bible says, get your hopes up, get them way up. Because in the Bible, really, hope is not like a thread. Hope is more like a rope, much more like a rope in the Bible. You see, if you were to look up the word hope in the dictionary, it seems to have three aspects, the word hope. One describes the strength of the hope as a desire. Hope is a want to, it's a desire for something. And the Bible says this desire can be strong, unbreakable kind of desire. Then it describes that hope has to depend on someone or something bringing it to pass. And so it must be anchored in something. The end of it must be connected to someone or something that can make the hope come true. And then the desire of the hope needs an object, the thing hoped for. Can you see the three aspects that I'm speaking of? The desire, that which would cause it, the someone or something that could make it happen, and then the object of the hope. If you look in your bulletins this morning, we have in your bulletins the scripture from 1 Peter. Let me read that to you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wouldn't you like to have this strong and living hope that Peter describes? Let me give you three steps on how you could know that hope this morning, this Easter morning. Here's the first. Anchor your hope in Christ's resurrection. In other words, you need a someone or a something that you can anchor that hope in. May I suggest to you that the place to anchor your hope is in the historical reality that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised again. This hope that we have is not the fragile, tenuous thread of hope, but it's hope like a rope that's connected to the reality, the historical truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Our hope is not a blind leap of hope or a blind leap of faith, but it is anchored in the name of Jesus. May I share with you a couple of stories about people who have tried to disprove the resurrection? One is the man Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell was tired of having Christians coming to him and talking about Jesus. He thought it was a myth. And so he set out to use his brilliant mind to disprove the resurrection. As a result, instead, he became thoroughly convinced that the resurrection was one of the most well-founded, with evidence, sound historical facts in all of human history. And so he wrote the book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. May I share with you another story? Sir Lionel Luck, who, if you look in the Guinness Book of World Records, find the greatest attorney who ever lived, and you'll find Sir Lionel Luck, who he was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth. He served as a distinguished diplomat and a justice in Britain. Here's what he concluded after he turned his legal mind and applied the rules of evidence to the resurrection. Here's what he said. He says, I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. If you were to go into a court of law, they would be able to surely prove through eyewitness testimony that the resurrection really happened. Frank Morrison, the British journalist and author, he said, I'm so convinced that the resurrection is a myth that I will set my life out, my purpose in life, to disprove it. Instead, he wrote the book, Who Moved the Stone? A skeptic looks at the death and resurrection of Christ, and he himself became a Christian too. In our modern time, Lee Strobel, the Yale Law School graduate and Chicago Tribune journalist, his wife became a Christian, and he was so upset by it because he thought when they got married, they'd made a deal, you know, they weren't going to get involved in that religious stuff. And she just started talking about Jesus, and he said, I'm going to apply the laws of journalism to this story of the resurrection. And once again, he could not disprove it. In fact, he found it to be one of the most firm historical facts in human history, and he wrote the book, A Case for Easter. Now, I might not be as brilliant as some of these men and some of these people who have looked at this, but I have looked at it and I have concluded that the resurrection happened. Not just because of the past historical fact and the eyewitness testimonies, but because of the Jesus who lives in me. Friends, he's alive. Our hope is not a thread. It's more like a rope. It's anchored in the person of Jesus. Now, here's the second step. Not only can you anchor your hope in the resurrection of Christ, but you can rest your hope on Christ's reliability. You see that when you receive him, he's alive because he's risen, he's alive, and he comes and lives in us through his Holy Spirit. And so that when we are going through the storms of life, we have something that is strong and unbreakable. Now, there's no promise that when you come to Christ that there won't be difficulty and there won't be problems, that you won't go through times where you're looking for a job or your teenager is rebellious, or maybe you've heard bad news about your health. There's no promise that some of those things won't happen. In fact, the promise is that they will. This is a difficult world. It's fallen. But our hope is made of stern stuff, unbreakable. Look at what Peter said when he talked about this in verse 4. He says, it's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. See, God is the one who keeps our hope. It's him, his life in us that holds us firm, anchored in the reality of the resurrection, the someone and the something that makes our hope sure and makes it strong. And then here's the third step. The third step on how we can have this strong and living hope in Christ. Focus your hope on Christ's return. Remember what the dictionary said, that it must be anchored in something or someone, that it describes the strength of the desire, but then the object of the hope, what is it? that Jesus is coming again. That is to be our object, because just as sure as he overcame death and the grave, he's coming again to make everything right. He's the object of our hope. That's the return of Jesus. Look what Peter said in verse 5. He said, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed," when? "In the last time." He is our hope. Not a thin, fragile thread of hope, like the worldly kind of hope that's just a wish based on nothing. But his hope is sure. It's based on the resurrection of Jesus, the reliability of Jesus, and the future return of Jesus. The Bible's hope is more like, well, it's more like a rope. It reminds me of the song that I used to sing with my mother and grandmother, because when I think about this rope, I think about all the generations of people from the time they saw the resurrected Jesus all the way up till when I was born. And my mother and grandmother told me about Jesus and told me about him, and I came to Christ. And so this is the present day here. I don't know who told you about Jesus, but I'm telling you about him right now. And so there's this long chain. That's in the past, this is in the present, and he's coming again. Now this hymn that they used to sing to me and I learned to sing with them has four beautiful verses. And the hymn is, "My hope is built on nothing less." Do you know this song? "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope's built on that. I dare not trust the sweetest frame." I'm not going to trust the sweet frame of mind of, well, I've got a hopeful disposition. No. "But wholly lean on Jesus' name." See, my hope is anchored in the reality. It's not some flimsy, fragile thing. It's not a frame of mind. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." That other kind of hope, it's just not going to work. But this hope is like a solid rock. "On all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale," boy, the storms come, "my anchor holds within the veil." I can't see past the veil. He's in glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. But boy, I can tell when I take hold of the hope, it's firm in the life's storms. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound," he's coming again, friends. "Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Do you know this hope? Not like a wish, not like the world hopes, but the hope that's anchored in the resurrection, that's strengthened by the reliability of Christ, and that the object of which is Christ's return. Friends, do you know him? Do you have hope in Christ? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the people that are here this morning, that are hearing your word right now. But more than anything, I thank you for this hope that we have, this living and strong hope that we have in the person of Christ. Lord, I pray for the person this morning that might not know that hope. Wherever you are right now in your life, right now in your seat, you can confess Jesus. It says in the book of Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that Christ was risen from the dead, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right now in your seat, would you pray these words with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on the cross for me, and that you were raised from the grave, and that you live today. I believe that. Now I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, and to make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want to be a Christ follower. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. If you pray that prayer right now, you'll know this hope that I'm describing, this biblical hope anchored in the reality of Jesus. May it be so in your life today, in Jesus' name. Amen.